In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of St. John Climacus, or St. John of the Ladder. And that book is a book that in a monastery you would hear read in the services all throughout Lent. It's a book that is well worth reading and rereading. It's not to say it's the only spiritual book. There are lots of spiritual books, but I would say that you should make it as part of your regular spiritual discipline that you're always reading some book on the spiritual life, because what these books do is they inspire us to, on the one hand, assess where we really are spiritually and to think about things that maybe we've forgotten that we need to be doing or that we need to stop doing, but also they inspire us with the examples and the words of holy men to do more, to try to strive to draw closer to Christ. But in the book, The Ladder, the fourth step that St. John talks about is the step of obedience. Each step is crucial for us coming closer to God, and it's very important to study them all. But this particular step, it touches on the very reason why man fell in the first place. Why did Adam fall? There were a number of reasons, but one of those reasons was, as Adam was told, and Eve, I should say, they were told, don't do this thing, don't eat this fruit. You can have all these other fruits, but don't eat this one. And what did they do? They decided, I'm not going to do that. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be my own God. I want to have my own way. And so disobedience is what led to the fall. Disobedience, this desire to rebel against God, is something that we are all born with. It's an inclination that we all have, and it's something that we have to work to overcome by God's grace. And the cure to that desire to rebel is the exercise of obedience. Obedience destroys willfulness. It destroys rebellion. Now, in St. John's book, he focuses mostly on what it means to obey in a monastic context. And in a monastic context, obedience is taken to a very much higher level than it is for laity. One of the reasons for that is that when you're a monk in a monastery and your abbot tells you to do things, you don't have to worry about how it's going to affect your family or whether you're going to be able to make a living as a result of obeying your abbot, because your abbot's going to make sure that you get fed. So you have the freedom to be obedient to this man on a level that a layman who's living in the world and has responsibilities for his family doesn't have. And hopefully that abbot also has spiritual insight at a level that your average parish priest doesn't have. If you ever go to a parish priest and you encounter one that's trying to put that level of obedience on you as a layman, then you need to flee, because you're probably dealing with someone who is in some sort of spiritual delusion. But there is a obedience that we as laity have to observe. There are people in our lives that God puts there that have some level of authority over us. St. Paul says in the book of Hebrews, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And here he's talking about authorities in the church. Elsewhere he talks about civil authorities and how we should obey them as well. Now obviously the civil authority is telling us that we have to offer sacrifices to pagan idols or something like that, then we have to obey God rather than men. But when the authorities are telling us to do things that are not inherently immoral, we should strive to obey what the authorities tell us to do. Now, in our society where we have so many laws that it's hard to keep track of, perhaps it's hard to obey all the many layers of laws that we have. And the old saying that ignorance of the law is no excuse probably really is not a fair standard to hold people to anymore, because there are so many laws. But we know certainly when the civil authorities tell us not to do things that are wrong, that we should obey those authorities. And in the church, we do have people who have some level of authority, and when they are exercising that authority, we have to be obedient as long as they're doing it in a proper way. When the bishop tells me to do things, I wouldn't admit that there are times that I might not entirely agree with everything that he has to say, and usually I do. But I mean, there are times when if I was the one that was calling that shot, I might say, no, I wouldn't do it that way. But you know what? When the bishop tells me I have to do something, I have to do it, because that's what it means to be obedient. I'm not going to be willful. I'm not going to just do my own thing. I'm submitting myself to the authority of someone that God has placed in my life. Also, in the family, we have parents, and when we're children, we have to obey them. And even when we're adults, we have spouses. And there's times when your spouse will ask you to do things, and you might not want to do that, but when they're asking you to do something that's reasonable, something that's not immoral, then you should do it. You should be willing to submit yourselves and not always want to have your way. When you're always seeking to have your way, you should know that that means that you have a spiritual problem. And also, when you catch yourself giving people unsolicited advice and trying to have your way by directing them spiritually, and you're not in a position of authority, that's also something that should cause you to reconsider what it is that's motivating you spiritually. Is it really love for God that is motivating you, or is it because of some desire to exercise authority over someone else and exercise it in a way that you don't really have? There are also many ways that the church tells us what to do in terms of the traditions that have been handed down to us. I often hear people who will ask questions like, well, what's the point of fasting? Why should I fast? What does it do? Well, there's a lot of things that fasting does. Fasting teaches us discipline. There are health benefits that we derive from fasting. We get more energy when we keep the fast. I know that from my own experience. But if none of those things were true, there would be one important reason why you should keep the fast, and that's because of obedience, because the church tells you to do it. Now, obviously, if you have a health issue, that's another story. I'm not talking about that. But for most of us, when we know that the church is telling us to do things, we should go ahead and do it. And if we don't understand it, we should try to understand it. But whether we understand why the church is telling us to do it or not, we should obey. Because that exercise of obedience, that exercise of submitting ourselves to the will of the church, is a way of overcoming this rebelliousness that we have in our hearts. The prophet Samuel told King Saul, when he was disobeying God's commandments, he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. And he said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's a rebellion against God that separates us from God. And that desire to rebel, that desire to disregard what those in authorities, particularly spiritual authorities, tell us what to do, is something that we have to learn to overcome. Also, we could add to that, it's not just the oral traditions of the church, but the scriptures. And that's one of the reasons why we need to read the scriptures on a regular basis. We need to familiarize ourselves with what the scriptures teach and also what the tradition teaches us. And we need to obey it. We need not to disregard it. We need to not think that we know better than all those who have gone before us, because we don't. There's no way that even a very intelligent person, maybe the most intelligent person that's ever lived, can have more wisdom than all those that have gone before them in the church. It's just not possible. And besides that, raw intelligence does not equal wisdom. You can be an incredibly smart person and yet be very foolish. Spiritual wisdom is a whole other thing. The prophet Jeremiah says, "But this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." Christ in the gospel says repeatedly, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says, if you obey my words, you will never see death. Now, we could just focus on things in terms of rules and checking the boxes. That's not the point. It's a matter of loving God. It's a matter of submitting our will. It's not just a matter of making sure that our outward behavior conforms to a list of things that we have put together that we feel like that's what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian is to love God, to be humble, to put God on his throne, and for us to be in our proper relationship with him and to worship him and serve him. The prophet Moses says, "And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers." Amen.